I think you have to be a little bit older to remember this person, but Mike Boguslawski from Action News 8 passed away.
Aww.
How old was he?
78 years old.
78, that's young.
78, yeah.
The hell?
Yep.
What happened?
We spoke to him a few years back. He didn't sound great. You know?
Didn't really sound great.
What?
Didn't really sound great. he had a nice rough voice. He sounded like the common man.
No, but I'm used to his reports.
Yeah.
You know, growing up watching.
Right.
This is Action News back when Al Terzi was on and Janet Peckinpah and, you know, Pat Sheehan.
Yep.
I'm throwing out some names now. People are like, what?
Around what years?
80s.
80s.
80s, yeah. They happened.
Yeah. He was a consumer protection person.
Yeah.
So, like, if you got screwed, he would go out and do a report. And then you'd see him, like, getting the door slammed or, you know.
He would start face. With,
I got a letter from this person, and I got screwed by these people. So I went out, and I brought a camera.
Exactly.
And then it got resolved. I'm Mike Boguslawski. I'm in your corner.
Awesome.
You don't remember him, Pam?
Not one bit. I'm sorry. I wish
Phil?
I did.
No, I don't.
Well, you grew up in Stanford, right? So Stanford, like, watches New York, right? You don't watch.
No, we, yeah, we didn't.
Yeah,
really.
You don't watch local stuff. Yeah.
We'd put on, like, Channel 12 when we wanted to see if the school closings were coming in.
Right. What's going on in Connecticut?
Exactly.
We'll watch Channel 12.
Right, you know? Right.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning.
Hey, what do you got?
Hey, I got a Mike Boguslawski story.
Oh, excellent. Ooh. Let's hear it.
All right, so I used to do above-ground pools. So we go to his house. I think it was on Killingsworth out that way. And so we're doing a pool, and he walks up. He's like, I'm a Mike Boguslawski. And I was like, yeah, I know who you are.
He started every sentence that way. He go to a drive-thru.
I'm Mike Boguslawski.
Can I see your place? Yeah, I'm Mike Boguslawski.
But was he in your corner? That's the thing.
Right. You got to say the whole thing, no?
Right.
And I'm in your corner. But he goes, I'm Mike Boguslawski. I said, yeah, I know who you are. So he goes, I get you anything you want, anything. You want tickets? I said, yeah, you know, Iron Maiden's coming up. And so he goes, two tickets are yours. So I go to New Haven Coliseum, and I'm like, yeah, you know, Mike Boguslawski has two tickets. She's like, nope. So I said, then I'm calling Channel 8, and I'm trying to get in touch with him. And next you know, this lady walks over, she goes, come here. She walks me to this big office. She goes, here's two tickets. He goes, he does it all the time.
Really?
It's like his running gag.
He had no pool. He had no pool.
I got to bring this up to Jimmy later.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, how many tickets did you get for Mike Boguslawski?
And what's funny is he's the guy who goes out and protects people from this crap.
Yeah. From fraud, yeah. From fraud.
From fraud.
Exactly.
What do you want? Tickets to anything.
The best
you
part
got
of it. Doing that job was his daughter came out, and when we were all done, she drew a picture of us making the pool.
Oh, that's nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But, he's just like, I'm Mike Boguslawski. Yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, relax.
You're not going to bathroom door. I'm Mike Boguslawski. Hang on.
I wonder if he did that everywhere.
He probably did.
But, yeah, you know, I miss that. I'm Mike Boguslawski. I'm in your corner.
I'm in your corner.
Yeah.
And he would do the point.
The point. Your corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in your corner.
Right.
But it's funny how you get
and,
a little.
I'm glad I made you guys laugh this time.
Hey, thank you, brother. Thanks for calling that story.
Thanks so much.
That's hysterical.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I bought two tickets to Iron Maiden. No problem.
You're I'm in your corner. Set.
Yeah, like he's a magic genie or something.
Where are the tickets? In your corner.
Right. Rub this microphone, I appear.
Right. Yeah, he does that all the time.
Here you go.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the Mike Boguslawski pile.
Yeah.
All right. Put some aside. Probably talk to somebody.
Yeah, it's funny how you can have a little catchphrase like that and it lasts forever.
Yep.
Do we have a clip of him?
I'm Mike Boguslawski, and I'm in your corner.
Last August, 87-year-old Cammie Horsley ordered the liftoff chair from Go West Medical for $725.23. The chair was to help Cammie's 92-year-old husband, Ernest, who was suffering from medical problems. Before the chair ever arrived, Ernest passed away. Patricia Gordon, Cammie's daughter, called the store to cancel the purchase and get a refund, but the manager would only issue a partial refund. Eventually, Go West Medical sent her a check for $386.11. She said the store told her the balance of the amount covered a restocking fee.
It just seemed an outrageous amount.
I met with the store manager.
He kind of sounds like he could be Dice's brother.
Yeah. He definitely does.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then before the chair got there, she died. Oh!
It was unbelievable. So I says to them, I says,
this company doesn't sound like they did anything wrong. You ordered a freaking chair, and now you don't want it.
Right. Person passed away. Yeah.
What am I supposed to just take orders and then cancel them and then give all the money back?
A special chair.
It costs money to like take the order, place the order.
Yeah, you got to pay somebody to order this.
Right.
Right.
Sure, and asked if he could refund.
He should track down that guy who's saying, yeah, I'll get you concert tickets. And then that'd be funny. I was knocking on my own door.
And I wasn't home.
All right.
God bless
rest
him.
In peace, Mike Bogusiewski. Lots of great memories. Sad news. And so many members of the tribe sent this to me because we had him on the air recently. Jay Barrett, 44 years old from West Haven, who's... bucket list item was to get some kind of a tweet out or some kind of a communication from the president, and then got a phone call and had a conversation with President Trump. Died at the age of 44.
Very sad.
Cystic fibrosis. And we spoke to him, and I asked him to tell us about his cystic fibrosis. Tell me about your cystic fibrosis. Is there any chance of you coming back from this?
Slim to none. My foot's over the grave, and the other one's on a banana peel. But because I am who I am, you know, I'm going to fight until the end. I'm still taking my medications. You're going to have to close that door on me.
That's, you know, the foot, one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. It's always, you know, kind of a joke, and I like to make a joke.
Right.
It kind of tells you what kind of guy this is.
Yeah.
Tough dude.
Very.
You know, most people don't make it. I think he said to us that his doctor told him, 13.
Yeah, so.
You're not going to make it past 13.
Yeah. He did beat the odds for a while. Mm-hmm.
44 years old.
Yep.
Not many people make it that far with cystic fibrosis. So pretty amazing.
Yep. God bless him.
Jay Barrett, West Haven, dead at the age of 44. Donations to defray funeral expenses can be sent to the West Haven Funeral Home of Savin Rock, West Haven. So I think we should do something nice there.
Yep.
Help the family out. And Trump tweeted out about it yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. I love that phone call that he had with the president.
Yeah.
He was just so himself. He swore on the phone.
Yep. That's funny. And Trump loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two regular guys.
Yeah. So he will definitely be missed.
Definitely.
Yeah.
More shenanigans in Hartford.
Oh, Lord.
Another thing to tax Connecticut families isn't sitting well with some pet owners. The bill would make people register their pet cats.
Really? Now it's cats? Honestly, this is the best you can do? You're going to tax everything now, the water I drink, you're going to tax, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When I put my slippers on, you're going to tax when I go to the bathroom.
The slipper tax.
Yeah, slipper tax. When I take a dump again, you're going to have the wiping tax, you're going to do that too?
Do you wear slippers?
I'm sure they've taxed our poop somehow.
Somehow, yeah.
There's the sewage tax.
Mm-hmm. Right,
this tax. Right. I mean, we're definitely taxed on our poop.
Yes. There's no end to these people. There's no end. They will tax everything. I suppose there's not a tax on top of the tax.
No.
They're going to tax your sales tax because it's a tax.
Yeah.
It is insanity, but we let it happen. There's more people who will vote for these people than not.
So then tax those people.
This is no longer, you know, a party issue. This is, we're getting screwed hard here, and when does it stop?
Exactly. Yeah, time to divorce them.
And I could understand if you... You know, let's just say the legislature was 17 years old. I would say, okay, I remember when I got my first credit card.
Yeah.
I went crazy.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. My first card ran right up.
Oh,
my God. I'll buy anything. I was just bored.
That's right.
I'd buy something.
I got that credit card, and I was like, wait. I can walk in, hand them this, and walk out. And that's it.
Exactly.
It's all mine.
I would get ready for a date by going to some place and buying pants. Towards that night, I didn't pay for anything. I'm like, oh, I'm all dressed for
hey, I got my new slacks on.
I got my date pants
I'm dressed
on.
For the nines over here.
Let me guess, you went to Sears.
I did. I had a Sears credit card.
You love Sears.
It was a Sears credit card. I can't walk into JCPenney with a Sears card.
You can't.
No, you can't.
No.
No.
New sneakers.
That was your first card, a Sears credit card.
It was blue, I remember, yep.
I don't remember what color my first card was, but I didn't get mine until I was in my 20s, and I bought a house, and I was just at Home Depot.
Oh, wow.
And using that card.
Mm-hmm.
And this is pretty scary, but I remember looking at the bill, and it was like $26,000 on a credit card.
Oh.
And so, you know, they have the minimum monthly payment.
Right, which you made.
You want to pay a little bit more. And I remember sitting down and figuring out, if I put this much towards it every month, when would it be paid off? And it was so many years in the future.
2021?
Yeah, hasn't happened yet.
I was like, man, I'm in trouble.
Big time trouble.
This is going to be with them. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't charge another thing, I'm paying out forever.
Yeah, your retirement fund. Yeah.
Well, I sold the house. I paid off all my credit cards. I haven't had a credit card since.
Nice. That's the best way to be.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
here.
Again, like, if the legislature just, they're 17 years old. They're 20 years old.
Got their credit card.
Like, they got the credit card. They overspent. Now we got to pay. I get it.
Right. But they're not.
No.
They're just idiots.
This has been going on forever.
Right.
You keep charging.
Yep.
You can't pay for it.
Right. Can we charge them interest?
And what the hell?
What the hell?
You know, they're not stupid people. So they're doing the math here. They know they're screwing us. They're going bananas with the money. They're,
right.
They're like kids with a credit card.
They really are. And every day's date night.
Yeah.
New pants.
You got to get your new pants.
Yeah, new pants.
What'd you buy for that date? New pants and what?
One time, boy, new pants and sneakers.
Sneakers?
Reeboks, yeah.
Pants.
High top Reeboks. Used to have the...
the high tops,
that had
yeah.
the
pump in the tongue?
The Velcro band on top. No.
Oh, yeah. The two little bands?
Yeah.
The two little Velcro bands?
Yeah. I was styling. I looked good. The date
It was
sucked,
styling
but,
for that time.
Oh,
now?
Yeah. Now I look like an idiot, yeah.
Mm.
Went with my mullet.
you know, there's that feeling when you're walking out with stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I'm a big shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do feel like a big shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm just going to drive over here. I'm going to get something. I'm not going to pay any cash for it. I'm going to walk out and have my date.
No, but there's a sense of feeling successful when, you know, you go in and you could just buy something and walk out when you're a young adult. You're like, yeah, this is a great feeling.
I'm a big boy now.
My mother or father, not with me right now.
No.
I walked in, bought that.
Yep.
Chose it myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All of this happened on
my
own.
I went to the fitting room, made sure they fit good.
And that's what they have in Hartford. They, with our money, they have big boy disease.
They do.
Like, they think, oh, who's a big boy
I'm
now?
I'm a big boy now.
Who could buy a bus route that no one's going to ride?
I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy now.
Look at me.
Yeah, what's funny is all this money from the tolls, they're saying, they're not saying, oh, we got to pay off all these, you know,
oh my
all
God.
The bills.
Look at these bills.
They're like, no, we're going to create new bills, and we're going to pay those bills with this money.
Right.
Have you guys done the math on this one?
Don't do math.
Yeah, I know.
Don't do math at all.
That's the problem.
Yeah, they can't figure things out.
There's not one goddamn accountant in Hartford. One.
They left. They couldn't afford to stay here.
Really? I think Arsimowitz is is he an attorney? Matt Ritter's an attorney, I think, and Arsimowitz works for the union.
Oh, their attorneys are screwed already.
I just, like, what, you know, math? I don't know.
What's math?
Yeah, get a math teacher.
Yep.
I remember the morning that I had to come in here and say that Bob Stefanowski lost, right?
It sucked.
And I knew that, you know, they're going to run the table now. They have the House, the Senate, the governor's office. And the only thing that really got me out of my depression was thinking, well, Lamont's a business guy.
Right.
Right. So he's not going to go crazy. Like, Malloy was always in politics, right? He had no other experience other than spending other people's money.
Right.
Like, that was his whole career.
Yep.
Just tax and spend, then tax and blame everyone else. I thought, well, this guy comes from money. His wife is like some kind of a financial whiz.
Right. They got to have this going on.
They're not going to, you know, come on. They're going to run this like a business.
They got to see it, too.
Well, then.
I thought we were going to look good.
That was November.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Here we are,
this
March.
This is March.
Yep.
November, December.
Anytime you want to kick in,
it's 4 months.
Anytime wants to kick in now, business sense, feel free.
And really, if you think about it, the budget came out last month, so it was one quarter where I had some optimism, where I thought, you know, maybe.
Maybe it's like a flashlight. You got to smack him a couple of times, get him to work.
Yeah.
Come on, work. Hello. We're in a dog here.
And, you know, I get reminded by people, hey, we're in a blue state. Okay.
Yeah, blue. B-L-E-W.
Yeah, I should say, how you spelling blue?
Right. Oh, we're definitely a blue state, all right. Yeah, we blew everything.
That's fine. You know, I think people, whoever you want to marry, you should be able to marry. You want to marry a tree, marry a friggin' tree. Mm. I don't care. Socially, I don't care.
Who cares?
This right, that right. Everyone wants rights. Everyone should have them.
Yeah, go for
it. Who's the government to say? Right? So I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm blue.
That part's cool, yeah.
But the spending.
Hello. That part blows.
I'm not an accountant, but I just feel like, I don't know, based on what I've seen in my life.
Right.
I've never seen the government do a good job with money.
Never. They overspend.
I've never walked into one government facility and said, wow, we need more of this stuff. I never walked out of DMV and said, you know what, we need more of this.
When you spend $500 for a toilet seat, hello.
Yeah.
They got it together here. Wow.
Right,
they got it together, right?
Right. Have you ever heard efficiency apply to this?
No.
If the word lack isn't in the sentence?
Yeah, really, lack of.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. But how are we the minority? How does this happen? Like, does no one, anyone who's doing a budget up there, no one has a credit card. No one has to have, like, had to pay it off.
Right.
No one has had that experience.
No one can think back that time, date night. Your Sears credit card, come on.
Yeah. Has no one gone to Sears and bought pants on date night?
Right.
And sometimes new sneakers with the straps.
Yeah, the good ones. The good ones.
White Reeboks with the straps. The high tops.
Because she was worth it.
Maybe that's what they're thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's worth it.
Who is this person they're trying to date? Who are they trying to impress?
I don't know, but just screw her right and get it over with.
Right. Yeah, can you get it over with?
Please. Just break up or just do her.
Yeah.
One of the two.
It would be a little easier to digest if the budget came out and he's like, man, goodbye, fat.
Right.
Look at all we're cutting.
We're going on a diet, forced diet.
Yeah. I'd be a little into that. I I'm not into the tolls. I'm not into the taxes. But I'd be a little into it if it was, we're lopping off 30% of government spending.
We're going to make some sacrifices over here, too.
But you're going to have to pay, too. And here's the plan. We're going to pay this. We're going to pay that. And by this year, 2090.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have our bills paid.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I can go along with that.
They're making the minimum payments
I don't
also.
Want tolls, but, right. You know.
Who was that company used to get you out of debt financially? call those people. Did. What was it, Ameritrade or something like that?
Yeah, Ameritrade. Yeah. Right, they take all your credit card debt. Right, they put it on one card.
Exactly right. You make
with
payments.
With a lower rate.
Exactly right. Yeah. We need them. Call
we need
them.
We need Ameridebt or whatever.
Ameridebt, that's it, yeah. Call them. Make the phone call.
Oh, jeez.
Says here you're billions of dollars in debt.
But I don't care if you're like blue, red, white, independent, you know,
Venetian,
purple.
Purple.
It's, you know, I don't know. Can we suck another $1 billion out of the economy?
Yes, I'm sure they can.
Oh, trust me, they're sucking every day.
Yeah, that's true, Pam.
Yep. Their cheeks
but
are
sucking.
How
do you think it'll go if you suck another $1 billion out of the economy?
More folks split.
Yeah. Very strange.
It's being an echo in Connecticut.
So now we're going to talk about, and we got to get the name of this person. Whoever wrote this up, I don't know if it's in Lamont's budget or if someone's proposing this bill.
Oh, dear Lord.
That they tax cat owners.
Yeah.
For owning a cat.
Right.
AJ?
Yep.
You have to register your pet.
Exactly.
You have to register your cat.
Mine's a wild child.
Remember when we started here?
You know what happened?
We would do April Fool's jokes and say, oh, they're going to tax your dog or whatever.
Right.
And people would go bananas. I'm saying it now.
This is real.
Look at the calendar. It's not April 1st.
No, it's not. This is a really elaborate early one.
That would be good.
Yeah, they're premature.
That would be excellent.
Hi, just kidding.
If on April 1st they all came out and says, hey!
Fooled you!
Suckers!
We're not going to have tolls. You feel so stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to tax
come
your
on,
cat.
Come on, we're not going to toll
oh,
you.
Come on, we're not that dumb.
That was
already
crazy.
Already heavily taxed. Oh, why would we tax you
for
again?
For Christ's sake, no one would live here.
Why would we not that. Cut the budget?
And Lamont's not the governor either. Everybody's Bob all the time.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed
oh
for that
one. Oh, my
God.
That would
be great.
I can't believe
they all came out. We were just kidding.
I'm leaving so oh, that was so hard.
Fools.
Holy crap.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
Brought to you by purplefuels.com. When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to dumbassnews@chazandajinthemorning.com. Car passenger choked driver for singing Christmas songs. I have three questions here. How long was the car trip?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How long were they into the car trip?
Right.
And what song was it?
Oh, see.
Those are three important factors.
Was U2 one?
If I'm on the jury, I might let you go.
It was a U2 Christmas song, justified.
Oh. 7-hour trip.
I think almost any Christmas song would drive you nuts if it's for a long duration of time. It's like Chinese water torture. It could be a song that you love.
Right, and you just choke them out.
Over and over and over.
Right, and plus it's also the fact it's March.
Yeah, and I think if it's 10 or 20 minutes into a 2-hour ride, like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do this. Sorry.
Yeah.
Good night.
All right.
You are married, but the guy was driving the car.
Right.
So the passenger was in the back seat, reaches around, starts choking out the driver to where he almost lost consciousness.
Driving through the streets. And I got my neck.
That's when you say to yourself, you know what? I'd rather friggin' die than hear that song one more time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my chance in the back seat. Chances are his son will get hit first. I'll use his body as an airbag.
And none of my questions are answered in the story. They don't say how long the trip was, how long, how much of the trip were they into at that moment?
Yeah.
And what song was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he frosted a snowman. It's annoying.
Oh, yeah.
So any of these songs.
Right.
See, I like it now.
Yeah.
Give me this like 40 times.
Exactly.
I'm going to choke you.
Right.
Why wouldn't they change it up a little bit? Like, have a whole playlist of Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that or, like, if you can't remember all the words and you just keep singing the same part over and over again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hark, the herald angels sing. Joking me with his.
All right.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Right. I wonder if they were doing the music, too.
Right.
I like the little whipping song, like sound in that song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They thought about it.
Yeah.
They sound like hand slapping back of your head.
Yeah. I've done that, getting ready to go to bed and Jennifer's laying down, and I'll just start doing the same thing over and over.
Oh, no.
And to me, there's a curve, right? So it starts out, it's one thing, and then it becomes annoying. And then if you can get them past where they want to kill you, it becomes hysterically funny.
This is the little thing
right.
we do.
And I normally don't get past the choking part.
I was going to say, really? You want to tick off somebody and smother you in bed?
That's right.
It's your before bed routine.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. This guy's got some stories.
Yes, he does.
He's a badass.
Yep, totally.
I'm going to call him Adventure Man.
Nice. Adventure Man.
Adventure Man.
Adventure Man.
He should have a cape on.
He should.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR. It's Martin Torres Quintero, rescue diver, mountain climber, Adventure Man.
Just man.
Yeah. I'm going to start out with this one story that struck me as I was reading about you, where you had a mountain climb where one person died during the climb.
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting story. I was guiding a couple of clients from the U.S., and one of them was actually an emergency room doctor. And they wanted to go to a mountain called Chimborazo, which is the second highest mountain in the Andes. And
are they experienced climbers?
They are experienced climbers, yes.
But they're hiring you because
as a even, guy,
it's just so dangerous that they need someone like they're experienced, but they need someone who's professional.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So there's a lot of commercial guiding being done now in high mountains. You can probably be guided all the way to
Everest,
K2.
I know if I'm going up
to
the second highest mountain, I want a professional.
Yeah, exactly. Picture from the ground.
Yeah.
Good,
so, anyways, yeah, and it's the highest mountain.
How many people in your party?
Two. So actually,
so
I have
it's you and two others.
I have two clients and an assistant guide with me.
Okay.
So, and at base camp, we met this guy with his wife and his climbing partner. So it's a party of three, and then they say, "Hey, can we join you tomorrow? Because you know the route." I say, "Yeah, sure enough, not a problem."
And they don't say, "Yeah, but that'll cost you."
Yeah.
No, it's just kind of like a common courtesy. And,
it's like
and
a brotherhood.
And it's a matter of like safety.
Yeah,
and,
follow
and,
us. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you exactly. can follow us.
Yeah.
But doesn't that potentially slow you down? Right? You're bringing another, you don't know their experience, and now you got these other people, and now you might have to.
Well, eventually it turned out to be that.
It turned out to be
way.
That.
So right. What happened is this. I noticed that they were, I was moving at a much faster pace than they were. And one of the climbers was moving faster than the other one. So they make a big mistake and they decide
so
to separate.
What kind of climb is this? Is this a hike or is it like you're banging spikes into the rock and your
it's
ropes?
It's actually, at the beginning of the climb, it's a little bit of rock climbing. And okay. then after that, it moves to all ice and snow. So,
oh,
yes.
Geez. Oh, who the hell wants to do that? That's scary, man.
You're wearing crampons and you're wearing ice axes. And just basically.
What are crampons?
Crampons are metal spikes. That you wear on your feet.
Wiggy wears them during the wintertime so he doesn't fall in the
those are toenails.
I swear to God.
These are actually rather large. They will
Wiggy, it's summertime.
10, 10 to 12 points. So anyways,
so that's pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, it is. You don't want to step on those things.
Though. No, you do not.
No.
But this is a pretty adventurous climb.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is a serious.
Before you agree to let them come with you, do you say, well, what are you bringing with you for gear and
food?
Oh,
I show them.
Yeah, you go through your stuff.
Check their stuff, yeah.
And,
right.
You know, the interesting thing about this mountain, Chimborazo, has two mountain huts. One close to the, as far as you can go, it's one of the highest roads that you can drive an automobile. And then there's a higher mountain road. And in between that road, in between those two huts, there are a lot of burial grounds for all the climbers that have gotten killed there.
Oh.
So it's kind of like a reminder of, like, this is a serious mountain.
Yeah.
So,
you could
be the next one.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So
you guys are there, and then they're going slow, and you separate.
Well, I'm going with my own party, and they're following me. Now, bear in mind that these climbs, you start usually around midnight.
Oh.
Why is that?
Because you need to cover a lot of ground, number one. And you want to maximize the amount of daylight, but also, this is the closest point on Earth to the sun.
Oh.
So you don't want to be there when the sun is full-fledged because the snow gets really soft, and that is debilitating. It's very hard to negotiate that. So you want to go when it's nice and icy and crispy.
Interesting.
Right. Huh.
How long does it normally take to get from the bottom to the summit?
So from the highest camp where you are to the summit and back, it will be a good 12, 13 hours of going nonstop.
That's a lot of climbing, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of
work.
Yeah.
It's a lot
so
of
you
time.
Start at midnight. You're going to be there around 1 in the afternoon.
Is there a lunch break?
Well, you want to be at the summit. You want to catch the sunrise, which is really spectacular.
Mm.
And then you want to be heading back no later than 8 o'clock. Because a lot of
So that's the 13 hours, that's a whole up and down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
From your high camp.
Okay.
So usually you
go... So at what point did you guys separate?
So I would say probably... So these individuals, they were actually not part of my team.
Yeah.
Right.
So I have my team.
You just
team,
said
but,
you could follow
but
me.
But I can see them and I can see the reflection of their headlamps on the ice. And then at one point, I noticed that there's only one headlamp.
Uh-oh.
And then I see another headlamp down below. So we get to an area where we every now and then we stop to hydrate and grab a bite and make sure that everybody's is doing okay. And then I could see there was only one. And I was yelling at them, where's your buddy? And he said, he's down behind. He said, your rope? He's like, no, we're not. He's like, well, that's not safe because any slip in here, you're going to go for thousands of feet.
Wow.
So eventually gets to an area and I told him, okay, come to us and I'll rope you. And since my team was two clients and an assistant guide. And I figure out, well, we're going to split the team because I don't want to have everybody in just one rope.
Damn
so
it.
We're going to be in two ropes.
Yeah.
And we were just waiting for the guy to come to us so we can just tie him up at the end of one of our ropes.
Oh, my God.
Man,
you know what
on.
This is like? This is like when you have a little brother and you're going somewhere.
Yeah, really?
It's like, come on, keep up. It's
oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I don't want to take you anywhere.
Oh, jeez.
So what happened is, We were literally maybe about 100 feet from where this guy is, and I was waiting for him to come up, and then eventually I see total silence. His light sliding down
oh, no.
on the ice. And I thought that it was like that he dropped his headlamp.
Right. Well, he kind of did.
Yeah.
But he was attached
next,
to it.
Next thing
it?
We realized, it was him going down.
Oh, no.
And then he ended up in a crevasse, but luckily that crevasse, which is a crack on the ice,
yeah.
it wasn't that big. That it got in, that the guy disappeared in it. So, I mean, we saw him, and we saw him maybe 15, 20 feet down into the crevasse, upside down.
Oh,
Jesus.
So we're like, okay, we go into rescue mode. We set up some anchors. We abort our summit attempt
right.
and say, we got to get this guy
it's
out of there.
It's a rescue mission.
Yeah,
it's a rescue mission.
That's
and
work.
As we're doing this, there's two German climbers, another team of German climbers, and they're going and I try to summon them. They're like, give me a hand here because we're going to need as much manpower as we can. And this guy's decided not to. It's an option. You know, you cannot force anybody to help people.
Yeah.
In
the what?
And they're like, yeah, no.
They said no?
No, we're here to get to the summit.
It's not their job. It's not their job.
It's not their job, but come on. It's
called being a human being.
Yeah, but the guy's also, dead already.
It's also what's called summer fever, right? Because people pay thousands of dollars and they sacrifice a lot of time of their work.
This is their moment
to go there, and they don't want.
They don't
miss
want their
the
moment screwed up by some idiot who wasn't prepared.
Right,
correct.
Yeah.
That's the way.
All right, we
got
to take a break, but we want to come back and listen to what happens to this guy who slid into the crack upside down. Martin Torres Quintero is in studio. He's a rescue diver, mountain climber, adventure man, and we're in the middle of this story where he was climbing the highest mountain, second highest mountain. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Highest mountain in Ecuador.
Huge.
It's him, an assistant. They're taking two clients up to the summit. Two strangers at base camp say, hey, can we tag along because you know the way? Sure, no problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they're kind of tailing behind, mm-hmm. not keeping up. And at some point, Martin sees this guy's headlamp sliding down the mountain. The guy ends up 15 feet down into an ice crack upside down.
Right.
So now you guys go down to save them, and a couple of Germans come by, and you're like, hey, can you help us? They're like, nope, we're going up. Which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is. Mm. So how do you get this guy out? And is he still alive at this point?
Well, we presume he's alive. We couldn't communicate with him, and one of my clients happens to be an emergency room physician. And
that's handy.
Yeah.
Very handy.
Yeah, and we, first of all, it takes about 45 minutes to get him out.
Wow.
Between setting up the anchors and safely descending to where he was and trying, his body.
So you,
was
have
up,
to, you have to slide down into
yeah,
this crack?
Yeah, he was upside down and he was stuck. He was stuck there, so we just have to find a way to hoist him out. And we get him out of there, and, you know, he seems to be unconscious. But think about this, it's extreme cold, it's in the middle of the night. You're doing with gloves and mitts, so it's hard for us to tell.
Yeah.
And but nonetheless,
so you slide down this 15-foot crack after you put in your hooks and your ropes at night, and you slide down into this crack to get this guy out.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who's not part of your party. This is a guy who's you just met and he's
along.
Tagging along.
Exactly. Yeah.
Says a lot about who you are.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, anyways, we got him out. And we get him out to the other side, like the downside of the crack, where he's safe. Then we create a platform. And then this doctor, he's like, starts doing CPR
right.
on it. And he's like, we cannot detect pulse, but we cannot be sure. And he carry steroids that are used for treatment of ailments at altitude. One of them is dexamethasone. So he just inject this guy with dexamethasone and adrenaline.
So they try everything.
They try everything.
Does he ever come back?
And we can't tell. And we just give the guy the benefit of the doubt. And you don't want
to assume he's alive.
We assume.
Yeah.
And you want to give everybody the last.
But there's no pulse.
There's no pulse and there's no movement.
Doesn't look good.
Probably deceased.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
It's probably.
Yeah.
So nonetheless, let me put it this way. If it was just me, I probably would say, I don't think this guy had a slight chance.
Yeah.
But because I had the doctor with me, and you know, doctors are trained to fight until mm-hmm. the very last minute at all costs.
Yeah.
He was like, let's give this guy a chance. And then we figure out also, think about this. It's like, well, we are like...
How are we going to get this guy down?
We're 6,000 meters.
No place to land a helicopter.
We're going to bring... No, a helicopter's going to fly that high.
Yeah.
Now they
Jesus,
do, but way
you're
back
that
then,
high
no,
up.
There was no helicopter in Ecuador that could have gotten that high. So we're going to have to drag this guy, this person to... you know, it's going to be hours and hours and hours before something had happened. So
right. Now you're risking other people in the crew.
Right.
Yeah. So do you guys have to make a difficult decision at this point?
But nonetheless, we're just like, okay, we're gonna try to lower him. So basically, at that time, his companion, who had been left behind, finally catches up with us, and he's really shocked to see what's going on. And luckily, they had a sleeping bag. That they were carrying their backpacks.
It's unbelievable.
So
This is a movie.
So we wrapped this guy on a sleeping bag, and then, but because I didn't want to rip the sleeping bag, I need to take the crampons out of the feet, you know,
of
this guy. So, and what I do is, like, you know, the straps are frozen, so I just pull out my knife and, boop, cut the straps and put them there, and I figure out, well, I put the... crampons in
it's
my
unbelievable.
Backpack.
Right, yeah.
So we
all these decisions
like
being
made. We wrap this guy.
We got to take a break, but we're gonna find out if this guy makes it. Makes it down.
Yeah.
We have Martin Torres Quintero in studio. He's a rescue diver, mountain climber, adventure man. He's bringing us through this story of climbing the highest mountain in Ecuador, and him and an assistant taking two clients up to the summit. Two strangers ask if they can tag along. No problem. They trail behind. At some point, one slides down and goes upside down into a crack in the ice. So it's the middle of the night. They can't see. They have lights.
Right.
They're putting the popping pins into the mountain of ropes. And Martin slides down this 15-foot crack in the middle of the night, pulls this guy out. It's like a 45-minute rescue.
Yeah.
So now it's a rescue. Now they're not going up. They're gonna head down.
They got you.
And so they have to... This guy's unconscious. They're with one of the guys in the crew is a doctor, and they pump him with steroids and they try to revive him. And they think, we got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. He might pop out of this.
Never know.
So it's like, all right, we got to bring him down now.
Yeah, that's it.
AJ, this is the middle of the night.
Right.
They're on this mountain.
Right.
They're way, way up.
Could there be enough stuff against them right now?
This is a movie.
It is.
Right? And so... They cut his crampons off. Those are the cleats on your shoes.
Yeah.
And they put him in this sleeping bag, and they wrap him so they could start sliding him down the mountain. It's hard enough to get down the mountain if you're a human being, but now you're going to be bringing the weight of a human down the mountain.
At least they're going downwards and upwards, so we're good.
So can I ask, did he make it? Did he live?
No. So at one point we determined that he wasn't alive, and we took... we make the decision to anchor him to the mountain and leave him there.
That's a tough one, right?
That's a tough one, because then, you know, you don't want to leave a body behind, and you don't
know what happens when you do that. Does someone go and get it at some point? Animals? What happens?
It many things could happen. It could get blown out of the mountain.
Never found again.
To be found. Some birds can get to it.
So it's a very difficult decision to leave someone behind. But at this point, you're like, we can't do it.
You got to save yourselves.
Plus, you had a weather situation coming in,
yes,
right?
And I'm thinking about this guy's wife that is at camp. And, you know,
she's at camp.
Yes, she's at camp.
Man.
So they want to be some closure. So anyways, he doesn't make it. And now I have the responsibility of bringing down the rest of my party, as well as this guy's climbing partner, who is in state of shock, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Oh,
and then a nasty storm started brewing up. And then as we're descending, then the two German climbers that had decided not to help us and went for a summit attempt, they couldn't make it because the storm was too strong. They come back. One of the guys had frostbite, so he has no use of his hands.
Oh, so now they need your help.
My God.
Yes.
Oh, so luckily, now they're asking for help.
Now, so luckily, my
Pam's
assistant
not liking
guy
these two gems.
Has,
no,
gone
no,
down,
no.
has gone down to because even though we had radios, but during the storm, sometimes you can't hear. They don't work really well. So eventually he got to a point where he can summon help. And everybody that was at base camp that was able to mobilize up the mountain, they mobilized and they come to help us and meet us And eventually, more people come in to help me get my clients, these other two people, to safely. And then I sat on a rock and think about, like, how I'm going to break this down to this guy's wife. That, because she's just eagerly waiting, right?
Yeah,
and
of
then
course.
You know, see all the bodies, and, you know, everybody walking by. And then it's like, okay.
Where is he?
Yeah. Where is he? And I'm like, what do I want to do this? And then I'm eventually, I go and talk to her, and I'm like the last one out there, and I'm like, I'm really sorry about that. I'm really sorry, but
and
you
this
know,
really wasn't even your responsibility.
No, it wasn't.
No,
you were.
No.
They were not a part of your party.
No, but I met them.
Yeah.
You know, days before, and then we talk and socialize and cook and tell the stories and all of that at base camp. So
yeah,
kind of like get a little bit of connection.
You bond a little bit. Yeah.
So eventually, she's. I thought that she was gonna like flip or something like
right,
that. She's
be very
really
upset.
Cool and calm, and she was more concerned about these guys' equipment. And then I'm like, okay, maybe that's a way to cope, right?
There's love.
But she was just concerned about, like, well, what about, like, the crampons and the ice axe? And I was like,
seriously?
Well, the ice axe, I left it up there because he's anchored to it. And the crampons, I have to cut them to get him to a sleeping bag. And then she was upset because I cut the crampons. And I said, can I have the crampons? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, here you go.
Yeah. And
wow.
So it boils down that
seems like a weird reaction.
It was, yeah. But here's the interesting fact.
And it's here's like, the kicker.
Here's the crampon.
So she had rented those crampons and an ice axe. And this is like high altitude, titanium, super lightweight kind of a thing. So she rented and the deposit was on her credit card.
Oh.
But the kicker is that after she gets the equipment, She hikes out of the mountain and gets into a car that is at a high parking lot and disappears. And I was like, well, that's kind of odd, right?
Yeah, I think
so. And then we're trying to figure out, well, I don't know, maybe she's going to go to
the nearest. Any questions about, are we going to retrieve the body?
Well, that's what like, I thought
her
maybe,
alone?
We thought, well, maybe she's going to the nearest town and, you know.
Yeah, getting a crew together.
Get
to go,
something.
Yeah,
right. Or go to a bank or.
The authorities.
Notify family.
So, nonetheless, she disappears. And then we find out 2 days after when the real wife arrives.
Oops.
Ooh.
So
oops.
This person was not actually a wife.
What?
And all she cared was that she had gotten the equipment that was rented in her name and she just disappeared.
Right. Wow.
Before she falls down the mountain.
Yeah.
When wow. the wife shows up.
That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
And eventually, when the real wife showed up, I mean, it was a pretty shocking thing. Not only to find out that her husband had been killed, but the husband was having an affair with somebody else.
Right.
Who
right.
had to tell her that? You?
You? What about his friend that he was hiking with?
That friend was not a friend.
No. Who was this guy?
It was.
Why
not
would
a friend
you have to was... tell her that? Why wouldn't you just say, "Hey, this is what happened"?
Right.
Well, it just. The facts are the facts. And the other thing I told her, listen, you know, I understand and we're going to try to do our best to retrieve the body, which it took actually a team of about 7 mountain guides, about 14 hours, used to bring him down to where he was. So that used to show the
tells
the
you,
point. It tells
you guys would have never been able to
no.
do it.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
You wouldn't have made it.
Wow.
But you
at
made
least,
the right decision.
But
yeah,
at least
really.
The doctor leave with the, you know, with the knowledge
he
that
knew.
He did.
Yeah.
And
he did everything.
Forced me to do whatever we could.
Yeah.
So.
Holy crap. Martin,
man.
That's a Netflix movie.
It seriously is,
that's
yeah.
a 2 or 3-parter.
Easily, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, you're some guy, man. Holy crap.
Wow.
Damn.
All right, we got to have you back because we didn't cover a lot of the stuff.
No,
I
so
cover.
Much stuff. Like a book
so many
here.
Stories.
Yeah. And he's a rescue diver.
Right.
This is mountain climbing.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, land and
this
sea.
This is the guy you want to be with when the zombie apocalypse breaks out.
Right, or right? your battery goes out in your
let's
car.
Let's go climb a mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
You got jumper cables?
Yeah.
Really? You don't
you
jumper
sprain your
cables?
Ankle.
Or Instagram goes down.
Exactly.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, where were you yesterday?
Yesterday
yeah, right.
Yeah, I was saving somebody.
But we're going to link up to all your stuff on Chaz and AJ in the morning. And you wanted to talk a little bit about paddling safety?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I do is I teach swiftwater rescue and river rescue, but also I'm a canoe and kayak and paddleboard instructor. And I always encourage people to seek safety. Kayaking accidents have become number one cause of death in Connecticut waterways.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so popular.
Because you're stuck in the kayak when it flips?
Well, no, most of it is
they make them different now.
Doesn't help, no.
Most of it is because people don't know what they're getting into. So they may go to a discount store and see something and say, oh, kayak for $200 or something like that.
Good
and
deal.
Then they'll just go out and try the nearest body of water. They will not understand the limitations of the equipment, as well as the fact that they don't know how to. Something as simple as most people that will get these into these boats, they won't even know what to do if they capsize in deep water.
Yeah.
You know, so some
and then there's the whole rowing thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to be able to.
I rented one with Jennifer on vacation.
Yeah.
I wanted to go one way. She wanted to go the other. And boy, that was a lot of work. Just going in a straight line.
Right. A lot of fighting.
What, was it a tandem kayak? Or you were
eventually
both in one boat, or
yeah, we were in one boat.
Yeah, we call those divorce boats, right? Because
you divorce boat. Well, love they just engaged.
That makes me feel better. Right. It's all normal,
right?
Right. I wanted to go one way, she wanted to go the other. That turned out to be a pleasant experience.
No,
we just stayed there.
You're not doing it right. No, you're supposed to be doing this
exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's like you're there.
My arms are so tired trying to row against her. Had a good workout. Anyway, where do we go to find out more about paddling safety?
So we're going to be doing stuff during the summer in preparation for the season. Keep in mind that the water doesn't get warm until later. Most accidents and incidents happen in Connecticut, I would say in late April and early May,
right,
because that's when everybody wants to go.
The water's nice still cold.
But the water's still very cold, exactly.
Yeah. All right, we're going to link up at WPLR.com. Thank you, brother.
Sure.
We'll have you back soon.
Pleasure.
Please. Jimmy Coplick, Live Nation concert guy on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jimmy!
Hello.
I'm going to ask you something. It's music-related, but not music-related. Do you remember Mike Boguslawski from, this is back when News 8 was called Action News?
Sure. I knew Mike very well, actually.
Oh.
Interesting.
Okay.
Because he passed away, and we were talking about it in news. Very sad.
Yeah.
He's
78 years old.
Really?
78.
Yeah. Died in Bristol Hospital.
Wow. I didn't even know he was back in town. Wow.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah.
But we were talking about it this morning, and someone called and said that they were doing an above-ground pool at Mike's house. Mike came out and said, I'm Mike Boguslawski. And the guy said, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah, pretty obvious. Yeah, you kind of stick out.
Yeah. It's the height of your television fame.
Exactly,
I know who you are.
Right. You're famous.
So what do you like? You like concerts? And he says, yeah, well, you know, Iron Maiden's coming around. I'd love to go see him. Well, you're in. All set. You got two tickets. And so the guy goes, oh, that's excellent. Thank you, Mike. And Iron Maiden comes around and he goes to the New Haven Coliseum, goes up to the box office, says, my name's so-and-so, Mike Boguslawski. Put me on the list. Yeah, let's see. All right. Well, you're not on the list. And this awkwardness goes on for a few minutes, and then some woman comes out from behind and says, come here. And she says, you're all set. He does this all the time.
Are you aware of this?
I love it so much.
I was just wondering if you were aware of that.
Yes, I was aware of it. I know who the woman was who came up behind. Her name was Eleanor. May she rest in peace also.
God bless her.
Bogey did that a lot. He made a lot of promises and would never call me about them. And we had sort of a house rule. If somebody uses Bogey's name, he was probably bragging about knowing me and getting tickets. And we took care of him because I didn't want him after my ass, that's for sure.
Does it? Wait, does this still work? Can I still do that?
You want him in your corner.
Because he did the consumer group. He would go down, track down people and make them look bad.
All right, I'm going to go see Kiss.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wasn't born yesterday.
Man, this is why Jimmy's still in business after all these years. He's at the top of his game.
Yep.
He was smart.
He's all over it.
Oh, I wish I knew that.
Right?
Than a common criminal who might not admit it. At least I admit it.
Right.
Oh, I wish I knew that.
See?
I would have saw so many shows.
Does it still work?
Oh, his ego was bigger than the state of Connecticut.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
And he really, look, he was a nice guy and he did a lot of good work. And he was a friend. I mean, he was a friend. But, you know, when you have that type of job, you really don't have any friends because you got to do what you got to do. So he loved to brag that he could get tickets and he knew me and all this stuff. And he would call me and sometimes he wouldn't call me. And so we always knew if somebody used Bogey's name, just give him two tickets and not get Bogey. Make Bogey look bad.
Did you ever use his name?
He's well, you ruined it. You told me he died. It would have worked, probably.
He would say, Mike Bogoslowski!
Was there anyone else who had that kind of, if they mentioned this person's name, give them tickets?
Yeah, generally whoever the program director was at PLR.
Oh, really?
At
nice.
The time, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a great relationship, PLR and I, and you know, and which we still do. And although there was a few years we didn't, but we do now. And I generally felt pretty good about if the program director at PLR was name was mentioned, we would take care of the person.
Very cool.
Oh, that's cool.
That's very cool.
Did I mention I'm the program director?
Hey, wise ass, you get what you want.
Of this program.
How'd you know his name was wise ass?
I didn't mean a whole radio station.
We all call him wise ass. That's funny.
Kiss is coming. This is very excited about this. Are you going to see them?
I think not. I haven't decided yet. It's a weekend, and I'm going all the way up to Mohegan Sun on a weekend for me, living in Stanford. I'm sort of not going to do it. Plus, I'm covering Fleetwood Mac tomorrow night. Ariana Grande's opening date of her tour is Monday night in Albany, which I'll be driving up to Albany for that. And then Tuesday night, I'll be covering Meek Mill in Hartford. So I think next weekend I just might take the weekend. Oh, no, actually, I'm going to be in Florida.
Oh, that's holy too bad, because Mike Bogoslowski left tickets for me for Kiss.
Hey, it's sold out.
Okay. all right, so I'm going to circle back to Kiss later, but Fleetwood Mac, they're getting great reviews.
Yes. How can't they? Neil Finn's a great singer. Crowded House is a great band. And Mike Campbell, you know, one of the great guitarists. That show's almost sold out. Just only got a few hundred tickets left.
Wow.
I love that they're connecting all of the DNA between Tom Petty, Mike Campbell, and Fleetwood Mac by doing Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes, yes, which is really nice, which they say Fleetwood Mac is a family. We get people from other bands, and it becomes a family, and it really is nice. I hope they do a Crowded House song. That would be really great.
That would be cool.
I can see that.
Yeah, I can see it too, because musically don't there's a over? Commonality there.
So Don't Dream It's Over. That's... Can anyone name another song?
Oh, I can't think of it. I know the song. I can't think of the name.
Phil?
Better Be Home Soon.
Better Be Home Soon. Don't know that one.
No.
Weather With You.
No.
Something So Strong.
That's it.
Are you looking online?
Something So Strong. Yeah. That's it. Something So Strong. I knew it was something that sounded more new.
I was like, he's cheating.
Because Something So Strong sounds almost like a squeeze song.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, like a Paul Carrack squeeze song.
I'm going to pull that one up.
Yeah. I always wondered about that line in the song, Don't Dream It's Over. Is he saying, don't dream, it's over?
Right.
Or is he saying, don't dream, it's over?
Don't dream, it's over. Don't dream, it's over.
Don't dream.
Don't dream, it's over. Don't dream, it's over.
It's over.
No, it's not over. Don't dream, it's over.
It's
going to continue on, yes.
Jimmy, do you know?
Like Something So Strong, you know?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, Jimmy tuned out a long time ago.
That's why I was keeping my mouth shut.
He don't know.
Since we're coming out of a Bon Jovi song, and we have Jimmy Koplik on the show, Chaz and AJ in the Morning, 99.1 PLR, any Bon Jovi news?
Well, there's no news. We had thought that we were going to have him last October, actually, and one of my really good friends, and as I probably mentioned before, the artist that cared most about me when my wife passed away a few years ago and really took me off to the side and spoke to me for a while about it. It was really very kind, very warm, and I'll never forget him for that. Just a great person.
That's something.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know,
great person.
When you think
completely unnecessary that he did it, and it was very warm. He was very, very warm about it.
So no chance of them coming around? I know they like Mohegan Sun.
Oh, they'll always play Mohegan Sun. No, they're not on tour, but if they go on tour, they'll be at Mohegan Sun. They've never missed Mohegan Sun.
Nice.
And then any chance of Richie Sambora getting back in that band?
I don't think so. I think John realized that he can do it without Richie.
And it's probably easier, right? So he just drives the car. There's no back talk.
Exactly right. No, I'm saying, turn left.
Tico's not going to say, no, John, no. I think we need to do it this way.
And David Bryan, no way, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yep, I agree with you.
We were talking during the song there that Hal Blaine died.
Yes. Born in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Right. Now, that might not be a name that stands out to you right now.
Right.
But he was part of the Wrecking Crew.
The famous Wrecking Crew, yeah. They're like backup musicians for everybody. They played for Elvis. I'm sorry. They played for Elvis. They played for Sinatra. They played for Simon and Garfunkel, the Beach Boys. I mean, you name it, he was there. He was the drummer.
Oh, wow. I think he's considered the greatest drummer of all time.
Yeah, he's a drummer's opinion. Drummer. Yeah, exactly. 90 really? Years old. Good run.
He's 90?
90, yeah.
Died yeah, he also recorded with Steely Dan, which to me is the ultimate honor because they are musicians, real musicians.
Very intricate.
It's like jazz fusion.
Yeah.
Which album did he play on with Steely Dan? Do we know?
No, I don't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been Gaucho, but I'm not really sure of that.
The big one was really Pressure Logic, though. I don't know.
Well, Asia is an album.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who the hell played drums on that one?
You know the song,
wow, they're good.
You know the song "The Boxer" by Simon and Garfunkel? Remember like they actually did that. They had that effect by having him hit the drums inside an empty elevator shaft.
Really?
Yep. To get that sound. Yep.
Can you look that up, Phil?
I mean, it's not like a can. It's like
"The Boxer" by who?
By Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Da da da.
Boom.
Da 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 da.
Boom.
Yeah. Yep. Empty elevator shaft.
Wow. Man, how do you know all that?
The tricks of the trade.
Yeah.
I was reading the story the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to picture the top 10 list.
Oh, I was like, just the other day? You just learned that? Wow.
Yeah.
Jeremy in New Haven wants to ask Jimmy Koplik about Nickelback.
Oh, why?
I don't know.
They're not coming around, are they?
Well, I'll tell you about it. We thought we had a Nickelback show this coming summer in Mohegan. They decided not to tour. But we all teased Nickelback, but when they toured a year or two ago, they did giant business.
Oh, yeah.
They really did giant business, and we were all shocked at it. They really do have a career, Nickelback.
Yeah, there was actually an argument of Nickelback on the Senate floor last week between some senators. One guy made a reference to Nickelback kind of dissing them, and the other guy shot back. And
hell broke loose.
Yeah, but over Nickelback.
Yeah, we almost played the audio, but you know, you listen to it and you say, don't you have more important things to do?
Exactly right.
But I got to tell you, I got dragged to a Nickelback concert by a girl.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, I'll suck it up, whatever. And I went backstage and I met them, and they are the nicest friggin' guys.
I don't mind them.
They
I
got
like
them.
And then as I'm watching the show,
yeah,
like they're not for me.
Right.
But I get it. Like I'm standing there, I'm like, these guys really love their fans. Their fans love them. It's a thing that I don't get, but I understand now why they're popular.
Their videos are funny to watch.
Yeah.
You know, Rockstar had everybody, even Dale Earnhardt Jr. was in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're good. I don't mind them.
Yeah, and they don't have that reputation.
Right. So, Jeremy, New Haven, there's your Nickelback answer. Kurt in New Haven wants to know about Journey Through Time with Neil Sean. All right, let me get a little bit more into this one. Kurt, what are you really asking here?
What I'm really asking, good morning, guys. Hey. Jimmy, it's an honor to talk to you. I was privileged to participate and see Neil Sean's side project, Journey Through Time, out in the Bay Area last year and 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they're taking it on tour this summer. And it's right in your wheelhouse, Jimmy. It's Neil playing with Greg Rowley and jamming. And it's freaking awesome. 3 hours worth of Journey music and a little Santana on the side.
Who's singing?
Dean Castronovo.
Oh, wow.
Playing drums and singing.
Oh, wow.
Holy crap.
From Damn Yankees.
So, yes. And
how does he do with the Journey
Damn
parts?
Yankees, Bad English.
Bad English, that was it, yes.
If you Google Journey Through Time, Neil Sean's Journey Through Time, there's videos there, and it's just incredible.
All right, I'm going to ask Jimmy now. Listen to the radio for your answer. Thank
Have
you, Brenda.
Have a great day.
You too.
All right, you too. Did you hear that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I did hear it, and I know about the band he's talking about, I'm a giant Journey fan and always have been, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm really hoping I can get Journey into Connecticut this year, and I know they've said they're not going to tour. They are friends. I've told stories about them in the past.
Things they've mailed you.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Right.
So it is a little personal. And so I believe there's still a chance I can get Journey into Connecticut this year.
That'd be fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah. So getting Journey Through Time would sort of diminish the impact of Journey coming in. So I'm not really working on Journey Through Time.
Gotcha.
I'm working on Journey.
That makes sense.
Yep.
All right, lots of questions coming in. We got to still ask Jimmy about Kiss coming up. Let's start with these calls here. Seth in Plainville wants to know if you're going to be doing an 80s show at the Oakdale.
We probably will be. We're looking for one right now. We're talking about bringing maybe Rick Springfield back with somebody. So we are looking.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep.
Because what was it? You had Hart, Joan Jett, and I think Cheap Trick. It was a triple bill.
Something like that,
was amazing.
Yeah.
Anything like that in the works?
Well, that we have Hart up at Xfinity in I think it's July, with Sheryl Crow.
Nice.
Oh, that's fun.
Yep.
Yes.
Have you seen the list of who's inducting who at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, I haven't.
All right. Harry Styles will be inducting Stevie Nicks.
Oh, that's weird.
It is.
Right?
Harry Styles is that...
from One Direction.
Yeah,
One
the
Direction.
Boy band.
The
yeah.
boy band.
Yep.
Well, he... it's sort of like your grandchild inducting you, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. Or great-grandma.
Yeah,
but I understand that they do have a friendship, number one.
Oh.
And I understand that Harry is an old soul. I never met him. I had One Direction show in a stadium. But I hear he really does like classic rock music a lot.
Hmm.
David Byrne, Talking Heads, will induct Radiohead.
That makes all the sense in the world.
I was going to say the same. Mm.
Okay. Two heads.
Yeah, makes all the sense in the world. I didn't vote for Radiohead.
Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails will induct The Cure.
Same with the Carpenters.
Yeah, that makes sense. Both their music I don't understand.
They look the same. Both singers look the same.
Yeah, really. They're interchangeable.
Brian May from Queen inducting Def Leppard.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Could there be anything better?
Brits and Brits.
Mm. And Brian May, I've met a number of times, one of the nicest people I've met.
Really?
Great guy. Yes, great guy.
Of all the nice people you've met,
he opened up for a bunch of Guns N' Roses shows I had back in the early 90s, and he was just so nice. Now, it wasn't hard being nice compared to how Axl was.
Yeah,
almost
true.
Anybody would have been nice.
Yeah,
but
the polar opposite.
Yeah, next to Axl.
Yeah. Someone had to do the job, yeah.
Anybody looks good. Did you see the Queen movie?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was not quite historically correct, but it was. I liked it a lot.
Right.
I mean, he didn't get AIDS till after Live Aid.
Right.
Right.
They changed that around.
Yeah.
They holidized it.
I don't even know who this is. Introducing Janet Jackson. Janelle Monáe?
Yep. She's a pretty popular R&B artist right now, Janelle Monáe. Yep.
Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals going to introduce or induct the Zombies.
Hmm.
Well, her career's dead, so.
I don't even know how the Zombies got in. I'll say that again. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Kind of trendy.
I don't get it. I mean, they had a couple of big hits. Thank you very much.
Right.
And that's about it. I don't quite understand it.
I'm interested in seeing what Susanna Hoffs looks like now. Did you ever book the Bengals?
Yes. Manic Monday was a great song.
Damn.
It was huge.
Written by Prince.
Yep.
Really? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Oh, great song. Loved it.
Did you...
We had him at the New Haven Coliseum.
Wow. What was that like backstage? Is that like a pillow fight? Like they're in their pajamas?
Everybody walking like Egyptian.
It wasn't quite so when you have Kiss or a crew backstage where they pick men groupies.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. So you're back there, and it's all dudes.
Yeah, dude fest.
But yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'll be over here.
Simon Le Bon and John Taylor of Duran Duran will introduce Roxy Music.
Oh, that makes sense.
Induct.
Yeah.
Yep. That makes sense. I bet you they were big fans of Roxy Music.
Did you ever book Duran Duran, and what were they like to work with?
I booked them a whole bunch of times. Nice guys. I booked them during their heyday a lot.
They were big.
Like the Reflex, stuff
big.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah,
they were one of the few bands that the girls would scream over that were actually musically good.
Yeah, right.
They really were musically good. They're not in Duran Duran. Isn't that funny? The Zombies are in, but Duran Duran isn't in.
Yeah, that's
travesty,
weird.
Sir. Travesty.
Yeah. Let's see. Mark the Oil Guy. Will the Allman Brothers Band ever tour without Greg?
You know, I was thinking about that, honestly, yesterday, because I'm so friendly with J-Mo, who lives in Connecticut. And there are only two living left. It's J-Mo and Dickie. That's it.
And Dickie is
two alive out of seven.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine, although J-Mo and Dickie are talking, and they're very friendly, and J-Mo might open up some Dickie dates, but I'm not aware of Dickie touring.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dickie's going back out on the road anymore.
It's a fun tour, J-Mo and Dickie.
J-Mo, Dickie.
J-Mo and Dickie.
we spoke to Dickie, and it was tough. He didn't, you could tell he's not as sharp as he was you know, maybe a decade ago.
Yeah.
And then he had to cancel, remember? Then
had a medical issue.
Yeah, medical issue.
So. He had a stroke.
Yep, that was it.
That's it.
Yeah, he had a stroke.
Yes.
And I'm not aware that he's gone back out on the road. And
yeah.
I think we've seen the last of the Allman Brothers.
What was that like backstage at the Beacon when they were camping out there?
Their heyday.
March Madness.
You know, I went to the very last show, and it was great backstage. Everybody was happy, and I couldn't understand how everybody was happy. I mean, this is ending.
Right.
This isn't good. This is bad.
Right.
So I'm walking around moping and being unhappy about the whole thing. And they're all patting themselves on the back, how great it is, big smiles, and everything like that. I just had a completely different attitude because I'm such an enormous Allman Brothers fan. I realized this is it. I'll never hear them live again. And they're better live than they're on record.
Yeah.
And that's how you wanted to always hear Allman Brothers music, was in an arena or a theater.
Was there a show there that stands out in your mind, like the band was just at their best?
On point.
Oh, I think the last show they were at their best.
Oh, really?
Nice.
It was 4 hours.
So they were happy.
Damn.
Right.
It was 4 hours, and Dickie wasn't there, but other than that, I thought it was really, really special.
Oh, wow.
I mean, we had some great Allman Brothers shows at the New Haven Coliseum. We had two New Year's Eve shows in 79 and 80.
Oh, that's right.
Wow. What a great way to celebrate the
year.
Yeah,
that's a great way to bring in the new year. All right, we got to hit a break here. Jimmy, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
You got it.
Okay, I've only been on Instagram for 2.5 minutes. I'm already sick of seeing people with pies.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Everywhere.
Yep.
I got to hand it to Lyman Orchards, though. Holy crap.
Yep.
They delivered a lot of pies.
They
Brilliant.
Did.
Television, radio.
Perfect. You're good, you.
Yeah.
You're good. You have a gift.
And then as I was thumbing through, I saw that News 8 had a little tribute piece to Mike Boguslawski.
Oh,
that's nice.
You want to see it?
Sure.
Well,
hear it.
You have to look on Instagram.
Exactly.
But
right, yeah.
Picture it, yeah.
Right here.
Jungle out there. And if you have a problem, you can always write me. I'm Mike Boguslawski, and I'm in your corner.
For nearly two decades, in the 70s and 80s,
I'm Mike Boguslawski, and you can bet people on my beat that what you'll get.
He was the growling hero of the little guy here at Channel 8.
Rapping Boogie?
We came out to a local grocery store to show you exactly what we're talking about.
Mike Boguslawski. Everybody called him Bogey. He made a career out of fixing problems and protecting the people of Connecticut from being ripped off.
And getting free stuff.
Say fixed it. And I'm in your corner. It's a jungle out there. And
they only have a clip.
Right.
Short clip.
Yep.
Hmm. That's funny. He got a lot of free stuff.
He did.
Yeah.
Yep.
That rap promo was ridiculous.
Yeah, really.
I want to hear that again. Yeah.
That's when you know it's too, you know, you become too popular.
Exactly,
it's
yeah.
It's like cool to do a rap song.
Oh,
rap,
God.
Oh, you think that was his idea?
Like rapping Rodney?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yep.
I want to hear the whole thing.
Can you try to find it? It's probably not on there.
I bet you it came out around the same time as, remember Rodney Dangerfield had Robin Rodney?
Yeah, then no, there was, who was it, the Bears?
Yeah. Yeah, we are the Bears.
Yeah.
Worst song ever.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like it was cute to do a rap song.
It was, yes. Stop it. Stop it now.
Yeah.
Just stop.
It's funny. Yeah, nice guy. We talked to him.
Yeah, very nice man. And he got things done.
Yeah.
You know?
He got things done, but he also wanted stuff for free, apparently.
Exactly. Well, you know, you got to take care of yourself, too.
Yeah.
I'm in my corner.
I'm Mike Boguslawski, and I'm in my corner.
Exactly. You got to take care of you.
That's fine.
Do you?
I'm Mike Boguslawski, and you can bet people on my beat that what you'll get every Tuesday and Friday at TNH. It's people that make my stories great. So watch Tuesday and Friday, take a seat, get yourself ready for Bogey's Beat. Slice of life is what you'll get from people all over Connecticut. From Haddam, Hamden, Hartford too, there's a lot of stories just waiting for you. So watch Live at 5 on Action News 8, where Bogey's Beat is really great.
Huh. Bogey.
How many takes
Oh, God.
All day.
Tons.
It took all day.
I would love to hear the blooper reel for that one. Yeah. What the hell is this?
Exactly.
There's also like a little video, like a promo video, and he's like in different spots. He's not just in one spot. So this was
Is he rapping in all the different spots?
He's like at the Capitol building when he says Hartford. Oh, yeah. He's like pointing at the town sign of Hamden.
A big production.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this didn't get played like once. It was played a lot.
Wow. Did they dress him in like a rap outfit?
No, he's wearing his suit and tie.
Ah, that'd be funny.
So I'm picturing him like dressed like grungy MC with the Adidas and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like running clothes.
Exactly.
Workout
right.
clothes.
Right, with the black hat.
There's also a lot of babies in this promo. Like a lot of people holding babies.
They're all my kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well,
Got
I thought so too.
Got around.
Chaz and AJ.
Good morning, Chaz, AJ, PM.
Hey.
Phil. Sorry.
Good morning.
We're sorry, too.
I just want to tell you, remember that Mike Bogusowski did a commercial for Colonial Funeral Home?
No.
And I'm in your box.
Yeah,
find it.
And then he had his thing at the end. I'm Mike Bogusowski, and I'm in your corner.
Is that your corner?
I'm in your coffin.
I'm your coroner.
I'm in your coffin.
In your coroner.
Have a great day, guys.
We're talking about him with love and respect.
Of course, no. He was great. He was an icon.
I was a big fan.
Yeah.
He was a superstar.
Yeah.
So he stuck out. So, I don't want to compare him to Scott Haney, but in terms of television personalities at that time, if you said, name three local television people, personalities, he'd be one of the names.
Yeah. In Port Jefferson, you can get News 8 right across the water. So
That's back with broadcast television. And,
yeah, I knew of him. I see him all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I look like a tough little thug, you know?
Yeah. He didn't look little.
No.
No. He looked big.
See, I have small TV, so.
Yeah.
He was in my bedroom.
He looked short and stocky.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Someone with a vertical hold.
Yeah. No, but he had those big fists, you know?
Yeah.
Like you get in a bar fight with him, man. Just knock you out with one punch.
Yeah, like meat tenderizers.
Because when he pointed at the camera, it's like, holy crap, he's got a big hand.
Like 3 days.
He's got a giant sausage finger.
Exactly.
Like if Jake LaMotta became a reporter.
Right. His ring was a lug nut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Mike Bogusowski. I'm in your corner. He almost sounds like Dice.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're like Dice's grandfather.
Yeah, so this woman ordered a chair, and then she canceled it. Oh.
Unbelievable. He's like a cross between Dice Man and McGruff the Crime Dog.
Oh, my God, he is.
Can you play him again?
Free for CBS 2 News, the station of the people.
CBS 2?
What's that?
Yeah.
I'm Mike Bogusowski, and I'm in your corner.
What year was that?
Your corner.
What year was he on CBS 2?
No idea. There's no...
Does it say? Or...
Fact check, Phil?
Huh.
Holy crap.
It looks like a montage that a fan made.
Oh.
That's why it's set to the right.
He must have went from News 8 to CBS 2, right?
Yeah.
Must have.
Does he look older or younger in the CBS 2 clip?
I don't know. He doesn't have a lot of hair in either.
Did he ever look young, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was on for 10 years.
Right? Wow.
Yeah. On 8.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing you go from
every Tuesday and Friday.
You go from News 8, you know, New Haven to New York.
Right.
You don't want to go from New York to New Haven.
No, step downwards.
Ready for Bogey's Beat. Slice of life is what you'll get from people all over Connecticut. From
Chaz and AJ.
Hey, how you doing? I got a Bogusowski story for you.
All right,
a bogus story. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hit a telephone pole, and Town of Groton wanted to charge me like, I don't know, $1,000 for the repair or whatever.
Like a crazy amount.
I took a little piece out of it, out of the pole, like a toothpick-sized piece out of the pole. They want to charge you for the whole pole. So I wrote him, and he took care of it. I mean, he sent me back a letter, and, you know, he got a hold of the town saying it was ridiculous. He had pictures of it. The guy was great.
Wow.
See him?
That's
awesome. He did a lot of good work. There's a lot of stories like that where people were getting screwed, and the last thing you wanted back then was for him to show up with a camera.
Exactly, right.
Yeah, because you're like, oh,
you know,
this is, it was like CBS.
Bad publicity.
60 Minutes. Yeah.
If you look in your archives, I think Smith and Barber did a Bogusowski pun on that piece that you just played before.
Oh, what, the rap?
Yeah. Yeah, they did a parody of it. I don't know if that's in your archives or not, but that was pretty funny.
We'd have to have archives.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Yeah, the problem is we went from analog to digital, and you know, you don't just dub everything from analog into the into the computer.
Right.
And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I'd love to have.
And poof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stuff from Stone Man.
Right.
And, yeah.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.